Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, everybody? Happy Monday. We made it. It is draft week. Welcome into the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. It is draft week. What more could you possibly ask for? One of the most exciting times in the NFL calendar, a time where hope springs eternal, a time where we get to predict and try to figure out who the Packers are going to take. And then finally, ultimately, get those presents under the tree, unwrap them, and figure out who these players are that Green Bay is going to be adding to their roster. And this is not just any NFL draft. This is a NFL draft with five picks for Green Bay in the top 100. Every single NFL draft is a franchise-altering occasion. You could completely blow it, and you could set your franchise back in a pretty significant way. You could completely crush it out of the park. Hello, 2023 Green Bay Packers draft. And you could get way ahead of expectations very, very quickly. And if Green Bay can continue to build upon this young core that they already have with these five top 100 picks, with their 11 overall picks in the 2024 NFL draft, Brian Gutekunst has the ability to completely put his stamp on this team, completely get them headed in the right direction, and maybe take that ultimate step towards not just being a playoff team, not just being a contender, but hopefully sometime in the near future, bringing back a Lombardi trophy to Green Bay. But this is all where it starts. Green Bay is a draft and develop franchise. Their lifeblood of their entire franchise is the NFL draft. And that's not completely different than a lot of franchises, but every team does it a little bit different. And we know that Green Bay is so incredibly reliant upon hitting the draft, especially when they've got five picks like this in the top 100. And that's why this draft is going to be so intriguing and so amazing. And I cannot wait to get to it. Today, what we're going to be doing is going on a journey together. We're going to look at the top 50 players in this draft, plus two. And we're going to look at every single one of them and explain why or why not they could be the pick for Green Bay in round one. And we are going to do our best together to narrow this down and to get a manageable list of players who are likely that pick in round one. And we will narrow it at the end to three players. And I will give where I'm leaning right now. I'll give my final prediction right before the draft, but I will tell you who I'm leaning towards at this very moment. Before I get there, shout out to our brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members, John Thomas, Ben Holes, Bennett Farrell, Sam Brin, and Nolan Bundy. Thank you so much for signing up. Appreciate you guys a ton. Also, just a quick mention, we are going to be doing that Pack-A-Day Podcast and Packer Report live show this coming Friday at Badger State Brewery. What we're going to be doing is I'm going to be doing the sort of, it's not exactly, I guess it's a happy hour ish for about an hour and a half prior to the draft from about 4 to 5:30. And then I'm handing things over to Ross Uglum and he is going to take it from there. He will be there until the end of the draft while every single pick on day two is made. Green Bay has four selections on that day. Could it be five? You never quite know. But they're going to be making all those picks on day two and Ross will be there live breaking it down. So that will be a really fun event. Again, myself for happy hour and then Ross in person at the Badger State Brewery. And then of course, I will be doing the live show Thursday here on YouTube, Friday on YouTube, and then I'll be doing a members only show at some point on Saturday as well. I'll be releasing all the details on that as the week goes along. All right, so before we get into our 52 players that we're going to go over today and go one by one and make the case for and against each of them, it's important to remember exactly what we're sort of looking for here. And I did a whole episode on Green Bay's draft trends and their history and things like that. But if we go back to 2005, just to sort of recap that episode in a really quick sort of way, if we go back to 2005, there've been a bunch of first round picks and there've been two players, Kevin King and Jordy Nelson, who weren't first round picks, but they were the first player selected in their respective draft class and were very near the top of round two. And you might say, well, why not Christian Watson? Well, he was taken the very beginning of round two and very end of, in that range, I should say. But He was not the first player selected in his draft. So it is either you have to be a first round pick or you have to be the first person in your draft class, which again, the only players that weren't first round picks that this applies to is Kevin King and Jordy Nelson. But if you look at all of this, what we have seen the trend since Ted Thompson became general manager of the Green Bay Packers and carrying over into Brian Gutekunst is a team that really focuses in that first round-ish on premium positions. 17 out of the 22 players have been premium position players, which is, in my opinion, what I can deem and consider a premium position: quarterback, offensive tackle, defensive line, edge rusher, or corner. 17 out of 22 have been those positions. 11 in a row have been a relative athletic score of 8.0 or more. The average relative athletic score since that Aaron Rodgers selection was an 8.3 relative athletic score. And 13 of their last 14 picks of those players were a 8.0 or higher for relative athletic score. 21 out of 22 came from a Power 5 conference, and 19 out of 22 were age 22 or younger. Only three players were over the age of 22: Devontae Wyatt, Demarius Randall, and Justin Harrell. Those are the only three. So we know that they like premium position players, players from a Power 5 conference, a relative athletic score over 8, and players that are 22 years of age or younger. In addition, we know some other things. We know that they tend to like players from the Senior Bowl and that have spent some time at the Senior Bowl, selected to the Senior Bowl. We also know that they do tend to find ways to make their top 30 visits, Green Bay Packers, in some way, either through the draft, undrafted free agency, down the line, or things like that. All of these are not to say that every single one of these players needs to hit everything. It's not like they have to be a Senior Bowl invitee that it was on a top 30 visit with a relative athletic score over 8 in a Power 5 conference with 22 or under at a premium position. It's not to say that they have to check every box. Oh, and also we know that at each individual position that they have very specific thresholds that they usually have at those individual positions as well. So what we're trying to do, though, in general today, is narrow it down by players that hit the vast majority of these. And again, it doesn't have to be perfect. And in this draft, it does feel like Green Bay is probably going to have to bend a little bit with what they want to do, especially picking at pick 25, and especially with what could be left over at that point in the draft. So with all of that being said, as we sort of look for those trends and look which players would hit, we also have to consider scheme. We also have to consider need on the team, which does go into the equation. Let's do it. Let's together go through all 52 of these players and try and figure out, could they be a fit in Green Bay or not? Some of these we're going to go through very quickly for obvious reasons. Others we'll take a little bit of a closer look at, and then we'll narrow it down at the very end. All right, so Caleb Williams, he's going to be the number one pick. We can cross him off the list. Drake May is going to be a top five pick, probably at worst, top six at very worst. And he's going to be, obviously off of Green Bay's board. He's a quarterback, so we can cross him off the list. Jaden Daniels, quarterback, top three pick, off the list. Marvin Harrison Jr., top 10 pick, wide receiver, doesn't fit a need. He's going to be gone, crossing him off. Malik Nabers, same thing. Roma Dunze, same thing. We're crossing all of them off. Could they be on Green Bay's board if something crazy happened? Yes. What I always say about players like this is, in order for Nabers or Harrison or Dunze to fall to pick 25 or even to a range where Green Bay could trade up for him, something happened. We're talking, gas mask type incident. And if every other team let them slide by, Green Bay is not going to be the team that picks them at 25. They're not going to be the team that stops the player slide, because if every other 24 teams ahead of them passed on them, it's not in Green Bay's DNA to say, yeah, we'll take a chance on that guy that had something crazy happen that forced them to fall from a top five pick to pick 25. It's not going to be Green Bay that stops that fall. So we can take Harrison, Nabers, and Adunze and take them off the board as well. JJ McCarthy, he's going to be a top 12 pick. He's a quarterback. Again, easy eraser here for JJ McCarthy. So that takes off seven players off the consensus big board right away. Next up is Joe Alt. Now, Joe Alt is a 1A Packers prospect all across the board. He hits pretty much everything. Wasn't a Senior Bowl invitee, wasn't on a top 30 visit for obvious reasons, but he hits everything they look for: premium position, under the age of 22, or under the age of 23, all of it. He hits everything. But the truth is, he's going to be at worst, at absolute worst, what, a top 12 pick in this draft? Like, there's just no way Green Bay's not going to be that aggressive in trading up for him. So Joe Alt, we are going to cross off the list for that reason as well. Dallas Turner, premium player at edge, Power 5 conference, 21 years old, relative athletic score over 9. He's hitting all of that. However, he doesn't exactly hit their height or weight. He's going to be a top 15 player at worst in this draft. And the truth is here is that even with him being, you know, sort of this unbelievable player and hitting everything, in order for Green Bay to get him, they'd have to trade up. And the fact that he doesn't hit their height or weight thresholds, the fact that they already gave a huge contract to Rashawn Gary and just drafted LVN in the first round, still have Preston Smith on the roster on a pretty significant contract, have Enigbare, Brenton Cox. Listen, if Dallas Turner fell crazily to 25, would he be in the conversation, assuming that there wasn't some, you know, crazy scenario that happened? Yes, very much so. But in order to get him, they'd have to trade up. And based on the situation and scenario right now, I think it's fair to say we can cross Dallas Turner off the list as well. Number 10, Brock Bowers. A really fun hypothetical question. If Brock Bowers falls to 25, could you take him? He's going to probably be the best player on the board, but is there really going to be a ROI for Luke Musgrave, Tucker Kraft, and Brock Bowers with three tight ends that were taken in the first three rounds in 2 years of each other? It just doesn't make sense. And I would be willing to bet money that he doesn't come close to pick 25. So we are going to cross him off the list as well. So that takes care of our top 10 on the consensus draft board pretty easily. Number 11, Quinyon Mitchell, 22 years old, premium position, position of need, relative athletic score over 9, went to the Senior Bowl. However, a couple things here. Did not do the 3-cone. It shouldn't limit him. He's a very unbelievably athletic player. Would he have hit the 3-cone? Who's to say? But he did not hit that. Or excuse me, he didn't test it. He didn't. So we don't know for sure. Also, he's not from a Power 5 conference. Does that matter a ton? No, they took Jordan Love from a non-Power 5 conference. But it's still just one of those things that we'll at least note here. The bigger thing is his over-under right now that's expected is before pick 15, you know, or excuse me, before pick 15.5 technically, and it's likely that he does not get past the Colts at pick 15. If Green Bay wanted to move up to get Quinyon Mitchell, they'd have to be probably pretty aggressive moving ahead of pick 15. I think it's extremely unlikely that Green Bay tries to go from like 25 to anything in that 10 to 15 range. I think 16, as we've talked about, is probably the sweet spot. And it's looking increasingly likely that Quinyon Mitchell will not even make it to 16, which is probably the earliest that Green Bay would trade to. So Quinyon Mitchell can absolutely and definitely be on the list if you want him to. It's just extremely unlikely that he's there, even to a point where Green Bay would potentially trade up for him. And just to be crystal clear, we are arguing today of who they will take at 25. If they go up to 12, well, that changes the calculus entirely. If they go down to 47, that changes the calculus entirely. Right now, we're basing this off of 25, or at least within a few picks of that 25 spot. Terrion Arnold, number 12 on the list, 21 years old, premium position player, position of need, relative athletic score over 9, hits every positional threshold. This is another star him. He's perfect. He's amazing, but he's likely going to be gone. Now, his range is a little bit later than Quinyon Mitchell. They're expecting him to go after 15, at least Vegas is. That gets you into that number 16 trade possibility with Seattle. But again, if we're doing this today based on pick 25, tough to figure out any situation or scenario in which Terrion Arnold is there and that Green Bay is able to pick him at that spot. Jared Verse, Power 5, premium position, 9.57 relative athletic score. However, In addition, he does hit all of the positional thresholds, or at least he's close enough where we can basically say he looks pretty good. However, he is 23 years old, likely gone by pick 25. And this is another one of those situations where are they going to trade up for him? Even if they, you know, wanted to trade up, I'm not sure Verse is in the wheelhouse here for sort of the same reasons we mentioned with Dallas Turner, is the fact that, again, you've already invested in LVN and Rashawn Gary. You've got Preston. You've got Enigbare. You've got a Brenton Cox. You've got all these guys on the roster already. Are you really going to want to give up a bunch of draft capital for an edge? It seems rather unlikely that they would go in that direction, especially when he's 23 and, again, doesn't quite hit a couple of their thresholds. He's close enough to say he basically does, but I just don't see that in the cards for Green Bay that they would move aggressively up for an edge player again when what they already have in the roster is by far good enough for the time being. Not saying they couldn't take somebody at 25 or 42 or so on and so forth, but at this point, trading up aggressively for it doesn't seem like it would be the best course of action for Green Bay. Number 14, Olufoshanu, Power 5, premium position, 9.39 relative athletic score, 21 years old. He did not do the agility testing, so we can't say he, you know, fits the positional thresholds for sure, but there's nothing to eliminate him that we know of. He didn't test poorly in the agility drills. We just don't know because he didn't do it. The only issue here is for Fashanu. He's likely gone by 25, but he is another player that pretty much hits everything that they would generally look for. Hey friends, are you ready for the Bucks playoffs? Are you ready for a little Dame time? Even if you're not, you're probably ready for the NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, or any of your favorite baseball teams kicking off their 2024 campaign. With all of this amazing action going on, there's never been a better time to get in on the excitement of Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app where you can turn your sports knowledge into some serious cash. Right now, you can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, or Major League Baseball entries on Prize Picks. Friends, I can't even begin to explain to you how much I'm enjoying my Prize Picks experience. It's so easy to play, and their user-friendly interface and enormous, and I mean enormous, selection of players and stat types make it a beautifully unique experience every single time I log in. Last week, LeBron James came up huge for me, and this week I'm looking to keep the momentum going, relying on Luka Doncic and Connor McDavid. And guess what? Even if Doncic or McDavid get hurt, Prize Picks offers injury insurance so that your entries stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. So what are you waiting for? Now is the time to get in on the excitement with Prize Picks. So download that app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Hello friends, if you're like me, you've been in numerous ticket situations that were just flat out frustrating. Recently I had tickets to a Bucks game and I could not locate the tickets that were allegedly sent to me. It ended up in a huge hassle and led to me being completely frustrated by the entire experience. Ticket purchases should not be that difficult, and thankfully, they don't have to be. Game Time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. With killer last-minute deals and their lowest price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying tickets. I'm already eyeing up Bucks playoff tickets, and I know I'll be purchasing them through Game Time. My experience with Game Time has been simple, seamless, and completely without hassle. No more frustration, no more awful last-minute customer service phone calls, just easy access to great tickets. My favorite aspect of Game Time is their last-minute deals. You can save up to 60% off by buying last-minute tickets, and save even more with exclusive in-app deals on select seats ahead of the big game. And best of all, it's all covered with their low price guarantee. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY, PACKADAY, for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. Late two from UCLA is next. Power 5, 9.19 relative athletic score, premium position, but 23 years old, shorter arms, worse broad jump than what they look for, has a pretty significant injury history with his neck, which I don't know that Green Bay is going to clear. And Green Bay, again, would have to trade up for an edge rusher, which, as we've talked about, does not make sense. We're taking late two off the list here, too. Talese Fuaga, power 5, 9.44 relative athletic score, premium position, if you consider him a tackle, which we will for this, 21 years old. He did not do any agility testing. He does have the arm length that Green Bay looks for. The question marks here is he a tackle and is he available? Should be on the list, but probably unlikely that he's there at pick 25. Number 17, Byron Murphy, power 5, premium position, 9.08 relative athletic score, 21 years old, hits everything there. He hits the weight, he hits the broad jump, hits those usual things that Green Bay looks for at defensive line, except he is only 6 feet tall. Usually a little over 6 feet. Usually they look for 6'2 or taller at that position. So he is a little bit on the light side. He is a three technique at heart. And while I do think he brings a little bit of that Kenny Clark ability to the table, he's not, in, you know, ever going to probably be that true nose tackle or that true run stopping, elite run stopping defensive lineman. He's probably more of your Devontae Wyatt. He's probably more of your Colby Wooden and Carl Brooks. Those three are pretty much entrenched in that lineup, and you can, as I've talked about, still move LVN and Kenny Clark to that three technique spot as well. So I think he would absolutely be high on their board. It's just more likely that he's gone at 25, and because of the things that we just mentioned, not sure that Green Bay would aggressively move up for him And again, we're looking at pick 25 for today. Number 18, Brian Thomas Jr. It's not a need at wide receiver. It's not a premium position. He didn't do the three cone. He is 21 years old, power five, 983 RAS. He hits all the non-three cone positional metrics that they look for. It's just, I don't see them taking a wide receiver in, like, they haven't done it when they've needed wide receivers. Are they going to do it now when they don't need a wide receiver? He is an interesting player that he has that deep ball speed. He gives you some of that Christian Watson ability. And if Watson continues to have it, I just don't think you can pick an insurance policy or like another one of those wide receivers with the wide receivers that you currently have on the roster. So I would be shocked, and I am not putting Brian Thomas Jr. on my list for that reason. Number 19, Cooper DeJean, power five, premium position, question mark. Is he an outside corner? Maybe, maybe not. 9.85 relative athletic score and 21 years old. He did not do the agility testing. Three cone is key for corners. I don't know that he would have totally hit that if he did do the testing. I think it's probably why he didn't. He also doesn't hit the ideal broad jump if he were to play safety. If he plays slot corner or safety, then he is not a premium position player. He's a non-premium position player. I do question the scheme fit here for Cooper DeJean. And then, of course, there's the argument, too, that there's a decent chance that he's just gone by pick 25. Number 20, Troy Fautanu. Power 5, premium position if he's a tackle, which we'll count him as a tackle for today. 9.45 relative athletic score. However, he is 23 years old. He might end up being a guard. He's probably gone, and he did not do any of the agility testing. That one's a little bit tougher. I think you have to at least put Fautanu on the list, but on the long list, I do think he's probably gone. J.C. Latham, power five, premium position, 21 years old. He did not do any testing. He's 342 pounds, which is not something Green Bay usually does. And he's probably gone by pick 25. This would not be a player that I would put as a high likelihood to be a Green Bay Packer for a variety of reasons, mostly probably due to that height and weight and the fact that he's gone. But I just don't see him necessarily fitting what they usually look for along the offensive line. Number 22, Nate Wiggins. Love Nate Wiggins. 9.42 relative athletic score. Comes from a Power 5 conference. He's only 20 years old, and he's 6'1". He hits a lot of the things that Green Bay looks for. However, at his pro day, he was 182 pounds. At the combine, he was 173 pounds. Green Bay usually looks for 190. He was 173 at the combine. He doesn't come close to the cutoff. He also didn't do agility testing. He's also extremely, extremely poor as a run defender. I love Nate Wiggins, but it really feels like this would be well outside of Green Bay's normal context and what they look for. I would say no to Nate Wiggins based on the history of Green Bay selecting at that cornerback spot. Amarius Mims, number 23, 21 years old, Power 5 conference, premium position, 9.53 relative athletic score, so he hits all of those. He did not do any agility testing, so that makes it really, really tough to kind of complete his profile. He did have a 28% vertical. That's not a specific threshold that has been an eliminator for Green Bay in the past, but they do love their big time athletes and they do love their explosiveness. And that does come, pretty shy in that spot. He is 6'7", 340. I know Ross Uglum is willing to bet some eating of tweets and some barbecue sauce on Mims not being a Packer based on that. I understand that. 6'7", 340 is big. A couple things. One, if you watch his tape, he's very agile. He's extremely athletic. And I think his athleticism and his agility makes up for that 340 pounds. He doesn't play like a 340 pounder. The other thing too is we've seen Green Bay have issues along their offensive line in generating some power, specifically in the red zone. That's been an issue. There's a real chance that maybe Green Bay wants a couple different body types on that line. Maybe some guys who can move some people. And Amarius Mims could absolutely be in that conversation. So I do think that he's in the conversation here. He was on a top 30 visit as well. I would not be able to eliminate him on the list at this point. Another one here that I could not eliminate. 24, Kool-Aid McKinstry. Premium position, 21 years old, Power 5 conference. Was on a top 30 visit. He's a strong scheme fit. Passes all other thresholds except for he didn't do the three cones, so we can't evaluate him off of that. and he did have a 7.54 relative athletic score. We talked about 8 or above has really been that threshold, so he's a little bit below that. I don't think that will be a deal breaker, specifically from him coming off of injury, specifically from him being a super scheme fit with what they're asking their corners to do now in Green Bay, so I got to keep him on the list as well. Number 25, Graham Barton. Power 5, 9.99 relative athletic score, 21 years old, hits all the agility thresholds. However, under 33-inch arms, which has been a pretty big deal breaker for Green Bay, is he a premium position? You have to ask that, because if he's a guard or a center, Green Bay less likely to take him. If he's a tackle, a little bit more likely. And of course, there's also the chance here that Graham Barton is gone, which it seems to be trending in that direction. Number 26, Johnny Newton. Small all the way around for Green Bay. We talked about the three technique with Byron Murphy. This is another player who's a three technique even more so than Murphy. He didn't test. He doesn't hit their weight threshold. He is 21 years old, power conference and premium position. But based on everything else, I have a tough time seeing Johnny Newton being a Packer at pick 25. Mitchell, the wide receiver from Texas, whose first name apparently I am pronouncing wrong. I think it looks like Adonai Mitchell, but I don't get to choose that. His parents get to choose that. Adonai Mitchell, I think it is. One of the things for me is I'm only watching All 22. And when you watch All 22, there are no announcers. There are no pronunciations. There is just tape. So sometimes you don't get to hear the pronunciations and you see something that looks like Adonai Mitchell and you assume, and I shouldn't have assumed. So my apologies for that. However, wide receiver, not taking a non-premium wide receiver in round one, meaning while like the top guys, it's just going to be somebody that Green Bay passes on and they're not going to take them based on where the roster is right now. 28, Chop Robinson, 21 years old, premium position, 9.68 relative athletic score, Power 5 conference, misses on height, misses on weight, misses on arm length, doesn't hit what they look for. And Goody just talked about still wanting those big guys at defensive end. I don't see Chop Robinson fitting for that reason. Jackson Powers Johnson is at 29. He's 21 years old and is from a Power 5 conference, so we hit those two. However, he didn't do any of the testing, no relative athletic score to go off of. He's an interior offensive line only. We don't have the three-cone testing to base his metrics at the specific position. Never played tackle in college, which is something they usually look for interior players. And from Bob McGinn's scouting report, the scouts, a couple different scouts, one said he's arrogant, another said that he's a little bit of a head case. Take these always, always, always with a grain of salt. But if there is any of that, we know Green Bay usually avoids that type of player. He also was not in Bob McGinn's initial 55 players for the top 55 in this draft, which he's usually really on top of this stuff. I still think he goes probably early round two, but I don't think it's going to be to Green Bay, and I don't think it's going to be at pick 25. Number 30, Tyler Guyton. Here we go. Power 5 conference, 9.71 relative athletic score, 22 years old, premium position, hits all of the offensive tackle athletic thresholds. He has the arm length that they require, was in for a top 30 visit, was on the Senior Bowl, is a position of need. He is the one guy that literally hits everything. Now, he is 6'7" and a half from a tall standpoint. It is a little tall. Do I think that's going to be a deal breaker for the Packers? I absolutely do not. When he hits everything else, I can't imagine, and I've said this before, but I can't imagine Green Bay. And again, it doesn't necessarily mean that they have to like his tape. And if they don't like his tape, it's going to be a no. Doesn't mean that they have to like his personality. There could be an injury concern. There are things that we might not know here, but I can't, assuming there is none of that, I can't imagine them going and saying, well, all right, he's Power 5 conference, super athlete, only 22 years old, plays a premium position, hits everything that we always look for. We had him in for a top 30 visit. We liked him, went to the Senior Bowl. We got to meet him there. But you know what? He's about an inch too tall. We're going to pass. I just don't see that being the case. Tyler Guyton hits everything and should be very high on everyone's predictive list for the Green Bay Packers. Number 31, Michael Penix, quarterback. 32, Bo Nix, quarterback. 33, Ladd McConkey, slot wide receiver. Xavier Worthy, number 34, smaller wide receiver. We're just knocking those off the list. Let's jump to 35, Darius Robinson, Power 5, 22 years old, premium position, whether he's a defensive lineman or an edge rusher. Here's the issue. He's a 4.01 relative athletic score if you consider him an edge rusher. That's just going to be off Green Bay's board. He's a 7.78 relative athletic score along the defensive line, which is much better and much closer, but doesn't quite hit that 8.0. He's 10 pounds under the defensive lineman, the one that he tested the 7.78 at. He's 10 pounds under what they usually look for at the position. He doesn't hit the broad jump if you consider that he's an edge rusher. He was a Senior Bowl invitee, but I don't know that this is a perfect fit for Green Bay. Yes, I love that he can play some edge. Yes, I love he can play some defensive tackle. But you have LVN, Rashawn Gary. You've got versatility in your front. You've got a Carl Brooks. I just don't see this necessarily being the case. I do think he's a really good football player. I would like the pick overall. But based on what they look for, I don't think he quite fits the profile and would be a little bit surprised if he were the pick at pick 25. All right, next up, Jordan Morgan. Power 5 conference, 22 years old. Possibly a premium position if they keep him at tackle, although he could play guard. He has a 9.24 relative athletic score at tackle, a 9.82 relative athletic score at guard. He does have shorter arms. They usually have a pretty strict cutoff around 33 inches. His are 32.875. Deal breaker, probably not, but that 33 has been a pretty strong cutoff for them. He's probably a guard, which means he's not a premium position player if he is a guard. He does have some positional versatility. He did not do agility testing, but he seems extremely agile on tape. So I don't think that's going to be a deal breaker. And again, he was a Senior Bowl invitee as well. So I think Jordan Morgan has to be on the list here. It might be a little aggressive at pick 25, but he is a very Packers-y type player. 37, Troy Franklin, day two wide receiver, not going to be the dude. 38 is Ennis Rakestraw. Power 5 conference, 22 years old. Does he play a premium position? If they play him outside corner, yes. I think he probably projects a little bit more as a slot, but he does have some versatility there. 6.17 relative athletic score, does not hit that. No three cone, so we don't know exactly what that would have tested at, but he had a very poor short shuttle, and we know they value agility at that position. He's also slightly under on weight and likely just does not hit their athleticism at corner. Number 39, Keon Coleman. Again, day two wide receiver, not going to be the pick. Number 40, Edgerrin Cooper, definitely a position of need. Power 5 conference, 9.26 relative athletic score, only 22 years old, but non-premium position, not expected to go round one right now based on everything that we're seeing. And he doesn't hit 80% or more on the broad jump, which is one of those differentiators at the linebacker position. Could he be the guy? Yes, but I think it would have to happen a little bit more with a trade down. It does seem like he's trending more towards mid-second to late second, not that mid to late first round pick for Cooper at this point. Kingsley Suamataea, Power 5 conference, 9.40 relative athletic score, premium position, 21 years old, no agility testing, did go to the Senior Bowl, likely would be a bit of a reach here at pick 25, but he does really hit sort of everything they're looking at. I wish we had the agility testing, but he seems like an extreme athlete at the position. I don't think it'd be a major issue or deal breaker that he didn't test. That's just the one sort of incomplete that we have. But everything else, Suamataea definitely hits for Green Bay. Number 42, Zach Frazier. I did not include him on my big board, but if you sort of look at why that might be, yes, he has the Power 5 conference and he's 22 years old, but 7.66 relative athletic score, doesn't hit. Non-premium position, just a center. Didn't hit the three-cone threshold. No tackle experience, which is something they usually look for their interior offensive linemen. Again, center only, small arms, which is an issue, and poor height and poor broad jump. There's a lot of eliminators there for Zach Frazier. I love Zach Frazier. I think he's going to be a really good player. Don't think Green Bay is going to take him at 25 based on all of the stuff we just went over. Ricky Pearsall, pick 43 on the big board. Day two wide receiver, not going to be the guy. Peyton Wilson, linebacker, 44 on the big board. Power 5 conference, 9.81 relative athletic score. Non-premium position at off-ball linebacker. Doesn't hit their broad jump threshold. Also has a lot of injury concerns. 23 years old. And not expected to go round one. So tough to keep him on the list. Kamari Lassiter, Power 5 conference, 21 years old, premium position, but only a 6.24 relative athletic score. Doesn't hit the 40 time. Also slightly under the weight threshold. Would be very shocked if Lassiter was the pick. Braden Fiske, Power 5 conference, premium position, 9.92 relative athletic score, but 24 years old, three technique, and probably is just a round two projection. Can't see him being the guy at 25. Roman Wilson's a day two wide receiver. Mike St. Ristol, Power 5 conference, an 8.33 relative athletic score, but he's a slot guy, so a non-premium position there. 23 years old, doesn't hit height or weight, and is likely going to be a day two selection. Xavier Leggett's a day two wide receiver. Tyler Newbin, Power 5 Conference, 22 years old, position of need, but non-premium position, only a 2.91 relative athletic score, and only a 56% on the broad jump, which they usually look much higher than that at that position. And then my two guys that were not in the top 50 that I wanted to include here, Marshawn Kneeland, edge rusher, 22 years old, 9.08 relative athletic score in a premium position. He's from a non-Power 5 conference, and he's 1 inch below their height thresholds. Was in for a top 30 visit and also was at the Senior Bowl. So a lot to like there for what they usually look for Marshawn Kneeland. I would really keep an eye on him at pick 41 for Green Bay, but probably not at 25. We'll talk about that. Patrick Paul, an offensive tackle that seems to be starting to make some waves as a potential day one guy, which seems probably very crazy. But there has been a little bit of buzz. I know Benjamin Albright said that people better get ready for Patrick Paul to go a lot earlier than they were expecting. And Patrick Paul just made mention, and this could just be Patrick Paul talking, you know, because he likes himself some Patrick Paul. But he said that the, you know, big boards and mock drafts online have it wrong. And that's his expectation based on what he's heard, that he's going to go day one in the draft. But anyway, Power 5 conference, 9.67 relative athletic score, premium position, hits all the thresholds for their offensive tackles. He is 23 years old, so 1 year older than they usually look for, but he also was a Senior Bowl invitee. So a lot of things there for Patrick Paul. Probably more second round for Green Bay, but he's another really interesting one. So that puts me at 15 players on what I consider my long list. Joe Alt, Quinyon Mitchell, Terrion Arnold, Olu Fashanu, Talese Fuaga, Cooper DeJean, Troy Fautanu, Amarius Mims, Kool-Aid McKinstry, Graham Barton, Tyler Guyton, Jordan Morgan, Kingsley Suamataea, Marshawn Kneeland, and Patrick Paul. Those would be my 15 guys that hit enough stuff that you could make a pretty significant argument for them one way or the other. They hit a little bit of everything. They may have one or two things off here or there, but certainly enough where I think Green Bay would still very much consider them at pick 25. Now, of those, I think there's a big chunk of those that are gone without trading up. And again, we're just looking at pick 25 here. So I'm taking Joe Alt, Quinyon Mitchell, Terrion Arnold, Olu Fashanu, Talese Fuaga, and Troy Fautanu all off of that list. That brings us to 9 remaining. Cooper DeJean, Amarius Mims, Kool-Aid McKinstry, Graham Barton, Tyler Guyton, Jordan Morgan, Kingsley Suamataea, Marshawn Kneeland, and Patrick Paul. Now, here's an interesting one. I'm not basing this on anything because Vegas is Vegas. We can't put too much stock into this. They don't know everything, but man, they're not willing to usually just put this stuff out there without having a good hunch on something. Here is the current Vegas line, as we are now on Monday, for who Green Bay or what position Green Bay will select in the 2024 NFL draft. Offensive line is set at negative 180. Negative 180 for offensive line. And this is, again, this is per FanDuel. All right. So this is FanDuel. These are ones that you can go to if you are in the right area. But offensive line, negative 180. Corner is plus 260. So a little bit of a long shot, but not completely unthinkable. Defensive line and edge combined into one category is plus 750. Linebacker is plus 1600. Safety is plus 1600. And wide receiver is plus 4000. Nothing else, understandably, is even on the board. So based off of that, a little bit at least, I'm going to remove Kneeland here from the list. Marshawn Kneeland, a little bit based off of that. Defensive line and edge combined is plus 750. The other thing here is I just think Nealon's a day two guy. I think 25 would be very aggressive for Kneeland to get taken there. So I'm going to take him off the list, and that's going to bring us down to 8 guys. DeJean, Mims, McKinstry, Barton, Guyton, Morgan, Suamataea, and Patrick Paul. There are 2 more players that, as much as it pains me a little bit, I think are very much likely gone. And I think if I really think about it, I don't think they're quite the perfect fit that maybe a lot of people think they are. And that is Cooper DeJean and Graham Barton. Listen, I like both of these players a ton. And Graham Barton, you can make a really strong case for. I think the biggest thing with Barton is that I do honestly believe he's gone at 25. And then even then, I also believe he's an interior offensive lineman. And we've seen no appetite from Goody, Thompson, and just Green Bay in general of spending a first round pick on an interior offensive lineman. And that, like I said, is what I believe that Barton is. And DeJean, it's a little bit similar. One, I think he's probably gone at 25. And number two, I don't think he's a perfect fit for Jeff Hafley's defense. He doesn't hit their safety thresholds for what they look for there. He doesn't quite hit the outside corner ones. And I don't know that he's a perfect outside corner fit in Green Bay. And then if you play him inside, he's, again, a non-premium position either there or at safety. He's a really good football player. If he's there at 25, I think he at least has to be in the conversation. But I am going against both of those two just based on what I see right now, based on what I think Green Bay is going to be looking for, and based on the fact that I think those two are less likely to be there. And that brings us down to six players. Amarius Mims, Kool-Aid McKinstry, Tyler Guyton, Jordan Morgan, Kingsley Suamataea, and Patrick Paul. And remember, Vegas has Green Bay at negative 180 for offensive line. That is five offensive linemen, one corner at Kool-Aid McKinstry. Now, you might be thinking at this point, hey, Jordan Morgan, Kingsley Suamataea, and Patrick Paul, there's just no way. They're not going to get taken at pick 25. They're expected to go way lower in the draft. Well, let me just add this. Darnell Savage, when they took him in the first round, was 42 on the consensus big board. Jordan Love was pick 35 on the consensus big board. Stokes was 46th. Quay Walker was 51. And Christian Watson, who they took early round two, was 49th on the consensus big board. Goody cares not for who anyone thinks is, you know, a top 50 player, top 40 player, 30. He is going to take the guy that he wants, especially at the end of round one. And Savage, Love, Stokes, Quay, and Watson were all very much a huge example of that. That being said, I will say that in my opinion, if you stay at 25, Jordan Morgan, Kingsley Suamataea, and Patrick Paul are just just too steep at that price. If you want to move down from 25 to 33 or 32, somewhere in that range, or maybe even a little bit lower, and get one of those guys, because here's the thing. I think one of those guys will be there early round two. Maybe not all of them, maybe only two of them, maybe just one of them, but I think you can move down and for sure still get one of those guys. And if you are going to take one, I would highly recommend moving down, getting that extra third round pick and picking them later rather than being ultra aggressive at pick 25. So they would all still be on my short list, but I'm going to remove them and say Morgan, Suamataea, and Patrick Paul likely would be more trade down and select sort of candidates. And that brings us to three: Amarius Mims, Kool-Aid McKinstry, and Tyler Guyton. Mims hits a lot of what they look for, a little bit on the bigger side, lacks some starting experience, but a big-time player, a big-time project, and somebody that projects to be a premium offensive tackle moving forward if they can get out of them what they would expect to get out of them. Kool-Aid McKinstry, perfect outside corner for this Jeff Hafley defense, doesn't quite hit the relative athletic score, but really hits everything else. And I think it's close enough where he still displays high-end athleticism and would be a big-time pick for Green Bay to bring into that Jeff Hafley defense, would immediately compete for the starting outside corner spot. And then there's Tyler Guyton, who, as we talked about, hits everything. And feel how you may about Tyler Guyton or any of these guys potentially being the picks, I'm not saying what I would do. This is not Andy's perfect draft. This is not, hey, how do I want the draft to go? I don't have my GM cap on today. I have my, how can I read the tea leaves to figure out what Brian Gutekunst is going to do hat on today? And if I were saying today to limit to my perfect eight, is if I had to like really narrow it, DeJean, Mims, McKinstry, Barton, Guyton, Morgan, Suamataea, and Patrick Paul. If I had to limit to six, I'd say Mims, McKinstry, Guyton, Morgan, Suamataea, and Patrick Paul. If I had to limit to three, I'd say Amarius Mims, Kool-Aid McKinstry, and Tyler Guyton. And today, I'll make my official prediction prior to the draft, but today I would lean towards Tyler Guyton. That is going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for sticking with me and helping me figure out what direction I think Green Bay will go in. I do think that offensive line play is a pretty strong play. I will, of course, be back here tomorrow with an all-new episode. It's going to be a really fun draft week, so make sure not to miss it. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Mo State and Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Bradad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donna Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Bremen, David Prendergast, Dan Miller, and Alex Huang. I will see you soon, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.